This is the Time Fix podcast, the podcast that enables you to find more time when it really counts. Brought to you by the Time Fix, where our passion is about creating sustainable change in your time management to improve team cohesiveness and productivity. Hello and welcome. This is Yıldıraz Prosa and
Pooja Kilka,
your hosts today.
Hi Pooja.
Hi Yıldı.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm really good.
I thought that to finish off this month, or is it, I'm not even sure if we're finishing off this month like this, but let's tie everything a little bit together. Because for those of you out there listening to us who don't know us that much, please visit our website and take a look at our archetypes. I mean, we have a madness. I mean, when two people like us come together, a whole new perspective arises, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when two heads with different sets of skills come together, a new method around the madness gets created.
And in the end, I mean... everything starts with behavioral styles and behavioral profiles and so on. But then what we realized is that we need to make it a little bit more digestible and easier and, more relatable, right?
Relatable and something that ties in with our strengths of what we can deliver, of what we talk about all the time and what our passion is as well a little bit.
And to make it easier for everyone to figure out what is their relationship with time, because in the end, we do believe that productivity begins with understanding why do you do the things that you do the way that you do them. And I know it's a mouthful, but that's the reality. So when it comes to productivity, it's the first thing that should happen. And this is why we talk about one size does not fit all, and we talk about your time and time perception, we talk about wasting time in a different way, we talk about a lot of things when it comes to time and your unique perception and relationship with time. So we thought, how about today we talk a little bit, let's hope it's going to be a little bit, because we can't talk about this. I mean, yeah.
We can talk about this underwater.
So let's... oh, God. Laughing and swallowing are not working together. It's not an efficient way of doing things. So let's go back to that big question. How do we perceive time? What did we find when we look at someone and we try to help them figure out what their relationship with time is, what are some of the common beliefs and what are some of the common denominators when it comes to time perception? Because obviously, I mean, yes, we all perceive it in our very unique way. And based on who we are and how are we built up, we will have our own unique makeup and take on it. But there's always some common denominator. So people can be grouped based on some of the patterns into bigger groups where we use time in a similar way or we perceive time in a similar way.
Absolutely.
Right?
In such a massive world population, there have to be similarities
patterns.
And there have to be patterns. And we know that about, and we find them in very different ways. And one of the ways that we talk about is using our little madness around the time-centric archetypes. And this is kind of derived from understanding behavior and how certain certain of these behaviors would relate to time, and that's where our little archetypes have taken birth.
Absolutely. And in the end, yes, we, for those of you who don't know and you haven't seen us in action, we do use a fabulous tool when it comes to behavioral assessments and ways that help us figure out in the end what is your main time-centric archetype. We use a tool called Extended Disc, and we absolutely love it, because there's a bit of science behind it and it gets validated, and we love when something is based on science, not just perception. And it gives us a bit of support in helping to figure out how can we support you, how can we help you, how can we make sense of those patterns that we see. Obviously the time-centric archetypes are a great way to help you as a person realize some of your patterns and how can you gain control and do things on a conscious level rather than just doing them, right?
Yes.
So when it comes to, and you probably already heard us talk about them, because we kind of do all the time, and you probably heard something like, oh, and the treasurer did this. but we do talk about four time-centric archetypes. We talk about time treasurers, we talk about time benders, we talk about time sitter, and talk about time validators. And we'll just try and tie it together with Pooja on what is their relationship with time.
Yep.
And if you end up recognizing yourself in more than one category, that's perfectly fine, right?
Yep, absolutely. It's perfectly fine. Nobody is pure one type and nobody is all four. Only Wonder Woman is all four and she's fictitious.
But I mean, you might have a dominant one.
Yes.
And even though you might say that, let's say you're a time bender, yet you can be very structured because you know how to function really well in that validator space too. Just embrace it and run with it.
Yeah.
Because in the end, if your main time-centric archetype is a time bender, you will have no issues with bending time. And you'll understand why we say that in a minute. But to start with, one of the things that we love talking about, and we both are a little bit, we are mainly treasurers, both of
yes.
us. So if you would ask me, what do I identify as, I'm a time treasurer, full stop.
Yeah.
And that's Pooja too.
Yeah.
To us, time is really valuable. And we grew up, all of us grew up, most of us grew up with that sentence, time is money. To us, it's a no-brainer.
Yep.
Right?
Absolutely. Time is a currency.
Time is a currency. And if you stamp on it, I will be upset
yes.
about it.
Also, when we say time is a currency, we don't easily exchange it for anything unless it's of some value. That's
Absolutely.
How we use our time.
Even when we sit in front of the TV, there has to be some sort of
purposefulness
to it, and it has to give us something back, whether that's entertainment or a bit of fun or relaxation or switch
knowledge.
Off knowledge, all these things. But it has to be something that comes out of it, and it is important to us.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So when it comes to our relationship with our time, I think one of the best ways to describe us is that we're quite purposeful.
Yes.
Even in our shopping.
I said it. And two women saying we are purposeful in our shopping. It might be a complete no-no for a lot of you who hear that. But it's true. We don't go into the shops unless we've done some background research if we find what we want in those shops.
Now, there's a fine line there, I have to say, because I do have a little bit of time sitter in me, and that doesn't mind browsing. But if it is about efficiency and how to say, if it is about using my time the best possible way, it will always be purposeful.
Yes.
So I will never walk in and just go through 15 shops for the sake of walking through them. If I walk through them, it is with a clear purpose. I'm looking for a pair of shoes that has to satisfy this, and this criteria, right?
Yeah.
I'll never walk in just for the sake of walking in.
Yeah.
I just don't.
I'm slightly different in that. While Ildi will walk in with certain criteria, I know exactly what shoe I want. And if I don't find it in one shop, I'm back at home. Do not ask me to go to 10 different shops looking for one pair of shoes. But the point is that we usually do not like to waste, do not like to trade our time for something that does not serve our purpose.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to describe it. Yeah. So I think the next one on our list is the time bender, and that's a little bit Pooja's favorite, because if we want to tone down the treasurer, Pooja does have a very fun side, which comes from the bender.
It comes from the bender, because I do love a bit of fun. I do love a bit of.
Not that the treasurer doesn't like fun.
Treasurer
really.
Likes the fun. Treasurer will be the one that will moderate that fun, because usually time benders are the ones that can easily trade their time in favor of fun. People who are very high in their bender. So fun will always take precision over doing something on time.
Why do we call them benders, Pooja?
Because time passes differently for them in different situations. So say, for example, they leave home to go to an event, but along the way they meet somebody who they haven't seen in a long time, they don't mind stopping and having that banter and listening to their story. And for them, they keep feeling that somehow or the other, that half an hour that they spend with that person is going to be okay, and eventually they'll get somewhere on time, which is not really true. They do land up being half an hour late in the end, but in their heads, they feel they are they're in a time bubble that they think that the time is somehow going to stretch out for them and they'll still be on time. So that's why we call them time benders. And I've heard this phrase somewhere, maybe on the radio or somewhere, they called them time optimists.
Oh, that's a good one. I love
it. And I'm like, that is the brilliant way of explaining when somebody is always constantly late, because they're so optimistic that somehow everything is going to fit within their sense of how time is going to pass, that they're extremely optimistic about it and they always land up being late. But they are those people who always bring this life to the party. And for them, people and fun is always on top of their mind, and variety as well.
We also have to mention, though, that they are the ones who actually beat themselves up the most.
Absolutely, they do. They do. They are painfully aware of their shortcomings. They are painfully aware that they are they have to do something about their time management and and be on top of their deadlines, if you will, or things that they need to get done, or teaching somewhere on time. They are absolutely aware of this fact.
Absolutely. Oh, look, there's a place for them in our world, and
definitely
the world would be a dull place without our time benders, right?
Absolutely, it would be. If you want to have fun, and if you work in a team, or if you are in a workplace, and if you don't have any time benders in your team, you will know that straight away. That team will not have fun. There'll be nobody really organizing team lunches, team dinners constantly, or finding a different way of entertaining the people around them, or even just being that motivational push that you require within a team.
Absolutely.
Who looks at the bright side of everything.
Now let's talk a little bit about the time sitters.
And that's a little bit you.
Their relationship with time. And that's a very unique relationship. And I mean, we all know that phrase catch 22.
Yes.
Right? I mean, if you're a young person and you haven't read the book, then please go and read it. It's a fun book. It's an interesting book. point is that for a time sitter, their relationship with time is almost like a catch-22.
Yeah.
Because they always have enough time, but they are so afraid that they will not have enough time that they are actually losing time. It's a bit of a... how do you say this? But it's true. So for a time sitter, time is a stress factor. Instead of being a motivator like it is for a time bender who just molds it and plays with it, or you know, being that purpose tool, because it is a purpose tool for a time treasurer. For a time sitter, it's the source of all stress, because it's always going to be that fear of running out of time. And because of that fear, you put yourself in that position where you start procrastinating and you hit that overwhelmed state. And when you hit that, coming out of that space is a whole exercise.
Whole exercise in itself.
And I do know that I am like that and I can be like that. And that can be a huge problem because I have that self-talk.
Yes.
That negative self-talk. And when it comes to the sitters, they are the most amazing doers. So when it's about getting through things, and if you have a good playbook, oh my God, no one stops a sitter.
No.
Yeah, they are your best doers ever, because they are relentless and they will do everything the right way because they do want everyone to be happy. They are your nurturers. They are your mother archetypes who really care about people around them.
Yes.
They are not necessarily big sharers unless they are prompted to
Absolutely.
Share.
Absolutely.
But they are amazing doers.
Yeah.
And loyal.
Very loyal. It's almost their identity. So if you want to ever piss off a sitter, is to question their loyalty and their truthfulness
100%.
or their honesty.
Absolutely. But when it comes to time itself, they will always be cautious about time. And they will, in some ways, they will probably treasure time better than a treasurer. But they will also overdo it on a regular basis. And I guess the nicest story around this is that my dad used to be the person who was taking my grandmother to the train station when I was a child, and they would always leave the house about an hour earlier than the earliest time they needed to leave the house, and I was always annoyed by it. I mean, really, seriously, who the hell wants to just sit around
and do nothing
for a whole hour waiting for the train to come? But the fun story in our family is that the one time that my dad didn't take my mom, my grandmother to the station, my mom stepped in and they missed the train. So you can guess what my mom's archetype is. But the point is that to a sitter, it's essential to make sure that there's enough time.
Yes.
It is absolutely and 100% essential.
Yes.
But also to a sitter, if you are a sitter and you often find yourself in that procrastination circle, just stop and think. Do you really have a good reason to be in that circle? Or are you just creating that issue and the fear creates that fog around how much time do you really have? Because a sitter, I can promise you, a sitter always has enough time.
Yes.
They are amazing planners and they know how to shuffle things around so that everything fits in their day.
Yeah.
But they have to have that awareness around
that. Awareness. And also I believe that they always keep a little bit of a buffer of time because they have to ease into a situation.
Absolutely.
They cannot be thrown into them straight away.
Absolutely.
And that's why they require that little bit of time buffer where they can catch their breath, have a bit of a think, prepare themselves for what's coming so that they are not frazzled.
Now, what I'm not, and I know I'm not, I know how to function in there, in that space, but I'm definitely not, I'm not a time validator.
No, I have a little bit of time validator in me, which means that I can function in systems and processes if I wanted to. And wanted to is the keyword, underline, bold, italics, all of those. It comes a little bit harder for me, but I can play in that space if need be. Especially in the business that we are in, sometimes systems and processes are essential.
You can't avoid it.
I'm
jokingly say that I'm not a validator. But in the end, and please take it this the right way when we say this, it's not about what you really are. I mean, that awareness is crucial. But it's not about what you really are. It's about how you function in those spaces that are not natural to you.
Absolutely. And we all can do what is not easy for us. And we all have to at some point.
Absolutely.
Because adapting to our situations and our circumstances and our surroundings is something that we do on a daily basis. Now,
let's go back. Because we
can deviate it. But having said that, while I can play in the validator space, I don't like to live in there for a very long time. I need to come out of it. And because I'm aware of that, I know how to fix that. But what validators really like is that they love everything just right. They love to have precision. They love to make things perfect. They love to fix things. And in that process, they can easily forget that time is passing away. So time kind of just melts away in that pursuit of perfection. Now,
it's validating.
It is validating time. So for them, unless they need to really be aware of why they are using that time and in what situation they're using their time.
And so how
is that going to progress them or the task that at hand? And also, and that's why sometimes you find them to be really shut down in themselves because they are working out things. You sometimes also find them not making quick decisions because they need to have complete set of data for them to come to a decision. Any missing information will stop them from making the decision because they cannot see how that missing piece of information will fit into the grand scheme of things. But validators are absolutely important if you have a team because they are the ones who can refine the systems and processes. They can fix things. They are the ones who can pick up on missing pieces. They can pick up on any mistakes or look at the minor details.
And they can perfect it. Make things better.
They can make things better. They are the fixers. They can fix things.
So I suppose for validators and in our characters, if you look at them, you can see that the clock is melting away. While time is extremely important to them, when it comes to pursuing perfection, time kind of melts away.
Exactly. For them, making things right is very important. Very, very important. So they will not let go of perfection to just make things on to finish things on time. However, if you want to really catch them and make them see how they can deliver things on time, you just have to ask them the question, whose need for perfection are they pursuing? Is it their own need for perfection or is it the client's need of perfection or whose need of perfection are they pursuing?
Good point.
Unless you ask them that question, they cannot put things in perspective.
Absolutely. Well, you see, I hope you now have a bit of better understanding of what we're talking about when we talk about time-centric archetypes. But I can't say it enough, and I think it's really important before we finish to reiterate that as much as it is important to talk about your personal relationship with your time and figuring out what is your main archetype and what other archetypes are actually influencing the way that you naturally work or function, I think it is very, very important to spend even more time in figuring out how can you function outside of your comfort zone. What is the toll? What is the cost of of being a validator when you need to, and how can you actually take care of yourself, and how can you avoid that overwhelm and procrastination space, because that's not a fun space to be in.
No, absolutely. And also being aware that you can be functioning in any of these spaces, whether that resonates with you
Absolutely.
Or not. Again, like I said before, we all have to adapt to our environment, to our work environment and all of that. And it's the awareness of what makes you unique and what your strengths are and what your challenges are will help you manage those situations where you have to constantly play in a space that might not be your strength. It is important to find how you can reset and find yourself again, so
that's
that you don't.
That's a whole different topic.
That's a whole different topic. But we'll talk about those in the next few episodes. But understanding what your strengths and challenges are is a starting point to honoring yourself.
Absolutely, and honoring your own relationship with your time, so
Absolutely.
That you can start making friends with your own time.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Pooja, for talking to me today.
Thank you, Ildi. It's always fun to have these conversations.
This is all we had time for today. Thank you for listening. And if you haven't already, please remember to subscribe so you are the first to know each time a new episode becomes available.
And remember, embarking on a journey to better productivity starts with making friends with your time. See you next time.
Bye for now.